We're asking ourselves another question on this sermon. And as I've said before, I frequently have sermon titles that are questions because I like answers. And how do you get an answer if you don't have a question to begin things? And the question is, how do we know about ourselves? That's a pretty vague question in some ways, but I think it'll become clear, at least what I'm trying to accomplish in the next little while. Everyone has some uncertainty, at least about something. We are uncertain whether we are good enough at some sport to be selected to play on a team. We wonder if we're good enough to get into the university we want, whatever it might be. There's lots of uncertainty. And one of the things we may have wondered about is, how do we know that we are in this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit? And it's understandable that occasionally we wonder about these things. It's not out of the question for people who have been in a relationship with someone else for a long time to sometimes wonder, are we right for each other even after all these weeks, months, years, decades, whatever it might be? The uncertainty is not a problem in and of itself. It's just part of being human. Well, if we're wondering about, do we have this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, whether we are what is sometimes shorthandedly referred to as a Christian, as you may have noticed, I tend not to use that language just because it has been so blurred in the last while. It's hard to know what people mean by it. But if we're wondering, or if we've wondered in the past, or we're helping somebody else who's wondering, John does give us some guidance here. And to give you a little bit of a hint about where we're going to end up, John has a nickname. He probably had more than one when he was around. The one I'm most aware of is the Apostle of Love. And it's easy to see why. He comes back over and over again to love in everything he writes. If you look at the New Revised Standard Version of the lectionary readings for today, Acts, Psalm, 1 John, and the Book of John, the word love or some form of it appears 15 times. 14 of them are by John, either in his letter or in the gospel lesson. So what does John say to us if we're wondering about ourselves, if we're wondering, do we have this relationship, if we're a little concerned, if we're feeling a little shaky? And once again, it's okay to feel these things. It's human to wonder. It's human to have the occasional doubts about things. It doesn't mean that you've lost your faith, because that's not what it's all about. It's about being human and just wondering. Well, what does John help us with? He says in the first verse of his letter, everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. So what is he getting on about here? He says that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that the Christ has been born of God, there you go. Those who love the parent love the child. Everyone who loves God has been born of God, because that's where the love comes from. He goes on to say in verse 2, and this is another place that we can look to see whether we are in this relationship or not. In verse 2, he says, we know we're in community, that is, we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. Commandments is an unpopular word. It's one that we don't like, and that's okay. There's lots of things we don't have to like to still put up with. I don't like wind, but I don't stay in the house until the wind goes away because, well, it's Saskatchewan. I'd never go out. There are things that we don't care for, but we still do. I don't always like driving the speed limit, especially when I've been inattentive and have left late. I still do my best to do it because even though I don't want to, it's the thing that needs to be done. One of the best parts of this letter, one of the best parts of this section of this letter, is where John tells us that God's commandments are not burdensome. And we need to pay attention to what's going on with the word burdensome. It doesn't mean that there is no work. In the same way that when we think back, this is also in John, where Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my work is easy and my burden is light. A life that has no burdens, that has no work, doesn't exist. Even people who are impossibly rich still do things, still have duties to discharge and all of that. We will always have things we need to do. The difference is that some of them are onerous and terrible and soul-crushing, and some of them aren't. Lots of them aren't. I have a responsibility. I have a burden, if you will. I have a commandment, if you want to go that way, to love my family. That's part of what it means to be a parent. It's part of what it means to be a sibling and a child, is to love your family. That's not hard. There are days when, you know, I have a headache and they're noisy if my grandkids are around, and it might be more difficult some days than others, but it's never really hard. Just because we've been commanded to do something, it doesn't mean it's difficult for us or that it's impossible. And what's happening here is that when we have commandments that are not burdensome, it doesn't mean there's no work, but rather through the faith that we have, we can do them. We can do what we need to do. This is where we find out what our spiritual gifts are, when we find out that we can do more than we thought we could, and sometimes more than other people thought we could too. And we do this because we love the children of God. When we love God, we love the children of God. We love each other. When we love each other, we love God. It's a virtuous circle, maybe even more than a circle. Maybe it's a virtuous sphere, whatever that would look like. Everything's related to everything else. And when we look at the gospel lesson, Jesus, as recorded by John, is telling us to abide in his love. And we talked about that last week, that abiding, when God abides in us, is not just this passive thing. Abiding means that we are part of what's happening, that we are doing what needs to be done. If we are abiding in Jesus' love, if we are abiding in God's love, we are alert to those areas where we can demonstrate this love to others. We are alert to do what it is that we are called to do that often only we can do. Not because if we don't do our job, God has to throw up the hands and say, well, I guess that's never going to happen. There are other people who can do the thing that needs to be done, but it'll be different. And we have a call upon us to do these commandments. We need to be prepared to love others as Jesus loved us. That's what John records in his gospel. You need to love others as I have loved you. You need to even be willing to die for those we love. And we think of that and we think, that's crazy. And yet, how many times have we encountered stories where parents, siblings, loved ones of one kind or another have risked their lives to go back into a house that's falling apart, that have gone down into a river to save someone they love, that are willing to take the ultimate risk because of the person they love and the love that they have for them? This is something that we need to be willing to do. Very few of us are called to do it. But when we think about it, when we realize that the people that we love mean that much to us, that if it was to that ultimate extremity, we would do whatever it is we possibly could, we realize that we are doing this commandment. And if we're wondering, if we're going back to our sermon title, how do we know about ourselves? How do we know that we're in this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit? That's the answer. It doesn't mean that we think this every time. We don't think every time our partner leaves the house that, well, I guess I better be ready to die for them in case the car blows up. We don't live our lives with that level of conscious awareness of this call upon us. We live our lives on the basis of knowing that this is what Jesus did for us. And the commands Jesus gives us, as it says in John 15, 17, I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. As I've looked at the lectionary texts throughout this Easter season in this lectionary year, I was talking to Heather about the possibility of getting overly repetitive about what's going on when we think, particularly of 1 John, where I've taken my focus in all of the Sundays so far, and will continue until we leave 1 John. And their response was, how many times is it that you need to hear God loves you and that God is love before it becomes boring? I don't know. I've never reached that end. I think we need to be reminded often it's easy for us to get caught up in this idea that God is a judgmental God, first, always, and only. And there are passages of judgment in Scripture. I know they're there. Of course they're there. There are consequences to behavior that is dangerous or wrong, bad, evil even. But that doesn't mean that God isn't love. And so when we're wondering about ourselves, when we're wondering about us, how do we know? How do we know we're in this relationship? We look to see how we are loving the people around us, the ones that are easy, the ones that are less easy. Because Jesus didn't say, I want you to love those who are lovable. He said, I want you to love one another. That means loving these people that we disagree with. It means loving people who have these weird beliefs that we can't even understand how they could get there. Whatever it might be, we are called to love one another, and that's how we know. If we're wondering about the reality of this relationship we have with God, check to see where the love we have is expressed. And when we see it where it is, and I'm sure we do, we realize that that's the evidence. That's what helps us to get away from our own worries, our own uncertainties, and say, I might not think, I might not feel, I might not have this warm fuzzy within me that says I'm in this relationship with God. But I look at the evidence of what I do for those around me, and I say, I love them. And that's what I'm called to do. And that's how I know that I am in an authentic, real, human relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen.